Let's now glory together in Jesus, our Redeemer, by remembering him and proclaiming his death through taking the Lord's Supper together. Every week at Grace Bible Church, we have the privilege, we choose to follow Jesus' instruction and example by taking a piece of bread and a cup of juice. That'll be passed to us in a few minutes. And we take these things as physical, touchable, tastable reminders of our only hope for salvation, our only hope for righteousness. We proclaim something. We proclaim someone, not ourselves, but Jesus, who died in the place of all who would put their faith in him. So we're going to be looking at a passage from Galatians, the one that Ben read earlier, from Galatians 4. So if you have your Bible open there, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We have some men who will give you a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, please keep this. This is the Word of God, and it's so important that you have your own copy to read, to meditate on, to believe, to trust in. Open to Galatians 4. So we've spent the last weeks, months, reading Galatians as a church. Paul wrote Galatians to combat the teaching of the false teaching of a group of people called the Judaizers who'd snuck into the churches or the church at Galatia. And in Galatians 4:17, he describes the ultimate goal of these teachers. This is actually the ultimate goal of anybody who would teach a gospel that is not the true gospel, even one that's just slightly off in the most critical point. Read with me what he says these teachers are doing. They zealously seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will zealously seek them. Their goal was to shut the Galatians out from Paul, his teaching, and ultimately the grace of God that can be found only in faith in Christ. So let's back up. Paul, when he came to the church at Galatia, he preached a gospel. He actually preached so clearly that in Galatians 3:1, he says that Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. And the Galatians, they were far from Jerusalem, and this was taught well after Jesus died. But Paul taught so clearly that Jesus died for sins, that it was as if those people were able to be at the foot of the cross and look up and see Jesus crucified there. It was as if they could see Jesus' hands and nails through those hands, nails through the feet, his blood pouring from his side. And they should have known the implications of what they saw there. Church, we get the privilege every week of hearing the gospel preached and then holding in our hands a piece of bread that reminds us that Jesus, God the Son, took on flesh and was nailed to a cross, and that he gave his blood there. Blood not given for sins that he committed, but sins that we committed. On the cross, Paul taught, the Bible teaches, that Jesus became a curse. He bore in his body the just punishment for the sins of all who would believe. Only because Jesus died, because he bore the Father's wrath against our sin, can we be forgiven? Can we be justified? That is, that sinners could be made righteous before God. Not because we somehow do enough righteous things so that God changes his opinion of us. That's not the gospel. It's not hey, follow God's rules, and then God will think you're righteous, or do enough good things, or believe the right doctrine in just the right way, and in a way that makes much of you, and then God will be pleased to say, yeah, you know what, that person's cleaned themselves up enough, now they're righteous. No, the gospel is all about what Jesus did, not what you and I could do. The message that Paul taught the Galatians, to where they could, in a sense, look at Jesus on the cross, was all about Jesus. And that's what communion is. This is all about Jesus. But the Judaizers came with a different message. A message that said, yeah, you need Jesus, but you also need to follow law. You also need to be circumcised. You need to do Jesus plus. Jesus plus, and in this case it was circumcision. It was Jesus plus law keeping. Effectively, put yourself under the same bondage that some of the Jews had found themselves following, wanting to think that if I keep the law well enough, I could be righteous. That was never the purpose of the law, Paul says. The Bible never claims that that we have any hope of becoming righteous by keeping law, by keeping rules. And this is so, so subtle. Paul is not warning the Christians, and I'm not warning you about doing good works as fruit. But Christians, we need to be warned about using any good work as the basis of our acceptance before God. And there are so many people, so many religions, so many teachings that would love to make you think just that. That something that you do, something that you think, something that you say, especially religious things, are the basis for your acceptance before God. And if you believe those things, they shut you out. Galatians 2:21 says that adding anything to Christ is declaring that Christ died needlessly. It's denying the gospel. And in Galatians 5, and just one verse after what Ben read, you can see it in 5:2, it results in Christ's death. If you believe that you need to add to Christ's work on the cross, it results in Christ's death being of no benefit to you, a falling from grace. Now these teachers come with nice words. Nice sounding words that make the Galatians feel important and loved. And yet their true aim was to shut them out from God's grace by taking the focus off Christ and onto the effort. Do you see that? Take the focus off Christ and onto the effort. And it is right that we should strive hard in the Christian faith to glorify God. And you know what? I find myself susceptible to this teaching. Sometimes I need to guard myself from my own Judaizer heart. The man in me that would seek to put confidence in my obedience this week, my faithfulness, or be devastated by my faithlessness. You might too. Do you get it? If you say, hey, I did pretty well this week, I read my Bible every day, I went to small group, I think I'm more acceptable to God this week. You might not say it so crassly, but you might feel it in your heart. Or if you feel more undeserving than normal because you sinned this week, you might be putting confidence in your own flesh. Maybe you're listening to the teaching of someone who would want you to put confidence in your own flesh. Maybe you're listening to yourself. Instead, listen to Paul. Listen to the Bible. Let's remember Jesus together at communion and say, my only hope is in Jesus. Paul gives the example of Hagar and Sarah. God made Abraham a promise. I'm going to bless you through and give you these descendants. And Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then he took things into his own hands. And what was the result? Ephraim, he had a child, Ishmael. God's promise wasn't going to come apart from the means that he had promised. And the result was slavery. Is the example here that Paul gives. Don't put your hope in effort, in something apart from God's promised means, which for us is only Jesus and his death on the cross. So in communion, we don't do anything. We receive, we remember, we proclaim. Not ourselves or what we've done, but Jesus and what he's done. So I want us to take communion today in a way, not shutting ourselves out, not putting hope in our own performance, but hope in Christ, in his performance alone for our salvation. Men, come serve us. And I want you to know, if you are a Christian, if your hope is only in Christ, please take communion. But if you have your hope in anything else, in your own religious effort, maybe in your goodness, maybe that Jesus will compare you to others and find you not wanting, that's not the gospel. If you believe in something other than Jesus and him alone for righteousness, let the bread and juice pass when it comes. Take communion on your own as your hearts are prepared, and then we'll pray.